In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. I'd like to welcome you all to our Perseverance Family Conversation. It's great to be with you, as always. And as is our custom, we like to start off with Mary, especially today is Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day to all of you. But also it's Mary's Day, because Mary is the Mother of God. Mary's the Mother of the Church. Mary is the mother of each and every one of us. And also we cry out to Mary in that beautiful prayer that we call the Hail Holy Queen. Mary is our life, our sweetness, and our hope. So on this Mother's Day, Mary's Day, May the month of Mary, let's pray the prayer that she loves most. And that prayer is the Hail Mary. Together. Hail Mary. Full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Now we'd like to invite our spiritual director to be with us. Our spiritual director is the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit has many titles, among which would be the Holy Spirit is the Paraclete. He's also known as the Gift of Gifts. He's also given the title as that of the Sanctifier. In the sequence that we prayed to the Holy Spirit on Pentecost, we call the Holy Spirit the sweet guest of our souls. Beautiful title. Holy Spirit is a sweet guest of our souls. So we'd like to invite the Holy Spirit also, who's known as our interior master or teacher. So ask the Holy Spirit to be with us, to guide us, to teach us how to pray, and also to teach us how to love God. Because when all is said and done, what really matters in our lives is to love God, and to try to love God with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength. So let's invite the Holy Spirit to be with us, to give us a lot of light, an interior fire of love to burn within our hearts. Let us pray. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful, and enkindle within us the fire of your divine love. Send forth your Spirit, and they shall be created. And thou shalt renew the face of the earth. Let us pray. O God, who did instruct the hearts of your faithful by the light of the Holy Spirit, grant us by the same Spirit we may be truly wise and ever rejoice in his consolation. Through the same Christ our Lord. Amen. Glory be to the Father, to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be. World without end. Amen. Mary, Mother of God, Mother of the Church, pray for us. Saint Joseph, pray for us. Saint Michael the Archangel, pray for us. Saint Gabriel, pray for us. Saint Raphael, pray for us. Saint Ignatius of Loyola, pray for us. Saint Maria Faustina Kowalska, pray for us. All God's angels and saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. The family that prays together stays together. So on this Mother's Day, as well as Good Shepherd Sunday, I like to offer my intentions as always, and I like to pray in a special way for all of the mothers present in our Perseverance family, as well as our distant mothers that maybe live in Mexico or the Philippines or other places, as well as to pray for our mothers who maybe passed from this life to the next, that they would be given entrance to be with Mary, the Mother of God, today. So in the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass that I'll celebrate today, my primary intention will be I'll be praying for all of you mothers, that you'll experience a lot of peace, a lot of joy, a lot of happiness on this day, that you'll experience the loving presence of Mary, the Mother of God, that she will be your life, your sweetness, and your hope. My second intention will be I'd like to pray especially for your families. And I've said this during the course of this week leading up to Mother's Day, that when you have family members, maybe you've got some young adult children, maybe you're even grandparents, if they ask you, Mom, what gift can I give you for Mother's Day? They might ask, well, can I bring you some chocolate? No, thanks. How about some flowers? I already have flowers. How about taking you out to a restaurant? Prefer to stay home to rest. And I can cook up something. Well, Mom, what do you want? You tell your son or daughter that has possibly distanced himself from the church, well, today at noon I'll be going to Mass. I would like you to come with me to Mass. And then I'd like you, as soon as possible, maybe within the week, to seek out a priest, to go to confession, and to get back to the practice of the sacraments. What do you think? Jesus himself has said that we should be as simple as doves, but we should be as astute or crafty as serpents. The simplicity of a dove and the craftiness of a serpent, by hook or by crook, utilizing whatever means at your disposition to save souls and bring wandering sheep back to the fold, which is the gospel today, the gospel of the Good Shepherd. You might utilize that tactic to bring your wandering sheep back to the arms of Jesus, the Good Shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd, there is nothing I shall want. So, that's an intention I'd like to make. I'd like to pray for your families. My third intention will be praying for unborn life. That as we get closer and closer, my friends, to this decision, which can be instrumental in overturning Roe versus Wade, that we would be able to defend life from the moment of conception until natural death. Human life is to be loved and respected at all stages. From its inception until God calls us from time to eternity to be judged. And how we've lived out our life. So my friends, let's pray. Let's pray that we would be able in this country, which was built upon the principles that every human being is endowed with inalienable rights, that of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that we will be a country once again that will defend life at all times, at all places, in all circumstances. So today, my friends, we celebrate what is called Good Shepherd Sunday. The fourth Sunday in Easter is the Good Shepherd Sunday. In this, we should be praying, my friends, for the church. We should be praying for an increase of vocations to religious life, vocations to the priesthood, vocations, also vocations to the sacrament of holy matrimony. But especially when we want to be praying for vocations to the priesthood. Because, my friends, the harvest is rich, but the labors are few. The harvest is rich, the labors are few. Jesus said, ask the Lord of the harvest to send laborers to work in the vineyard. Because indeed the harvest is rich. The laborers are just way too few. Way too few. So let's go into the readings today. And as mentioned in past talks, during these 50 days, which is the Easter season, we are going through the wonderful book, The Acts of the Apostles. So it's Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and the Acts of the Apostles follows upon the last gospel. And you probably know that I'm giving a class, a mini course on the Acts of the Apostles. Today at St. Peter Chanel at 1:30, then the following Tuesday in Spanish at the Church of St. John the Baptist in Baldwin Park. Then on Thursday in the Church of St. Therese in Alhambra, I'm giving these three different sessions in which we're going through the Acts of the Apostles. You're invited to come with us. And the protocol or method is very simple. Very simple. Come to the conference that I'll be giving. And the Acts of the Apostles is 28 chapters in this course is actually 28 days, basically. It's It's a course in which I'm giving 5 talks. So you meditate upon 1 chapter a day from the Acts of the Apostles, from the 1st chapter to the 28th. So you just have to have your Bible and to read, to meditate, to reflect, and to see how God is going to speak to you. One of the marvelous fruits that will come from our course on the Acts of the Apostles will be a more deep awareness of the presence of the Holy Spirit in the Bible, in the early church, the operation of the Holy Spirit, how He works, but also how the Holy Spirit is operating in your own life. Because through baptism, we become temples of the Holy Spirit. So this whole Easter season, in the daily Masses as well as the Sunday Masses, we start off by reading the Acts of the Apostles. So today I'll give you a summary of what we have. We have two of the prominent early Christian figures in the Acts of the Apostles, Paul and Barnabas. And a good part of the Acts of the Apostles, after the conversion of Saul of Tarsus in Acts chapter 9, 1-20, which was the first reading for Thursday in the daily Mass, is that after the radical conversion of Saul of Tarsus, what happens is he is called by God, he called by the Holy Spirit to preach the Word of God to the whole world. That's right, to preach the Word of God to the whole world. That's what he's called to do. So we see Paul preaching, moving from one place to another. In other words, he's carrying out his missionary work. And he will have various companions. He'll have John Mark, he'll have Barnabas, he'll have Silas, he'll have Luke, various companions. So chapter 14, Paul is with Barnabas, and he's ending up in Antioch. That will be the first place where followers of Christ are called Christians. So they enter into the synagogue and on the Sabbath, and they preach the Word of God. So many of the Jews who are converts to Judaism, they start to follow Paul and Barnabas. And Paul and Barnabas are preaching the Word of God in season and outside of season. And they're preaching, begging the people, exhorting the people to be faithful to the grace of God. And I think that for us, we should be faithful to the grace of God. What will the grace of God do in your life? Well, the grace of God will often enlighten your mind with a holy thought. It's called an inspiration. And touch your heart. with interior motion to move in one direction toward the good. So it's up to us to say yes to the grace of God and to follow that inspiration. So the following Sabbath, almost the whole city gathers to hear the word of God. You know what happens often is we have what's called the two standards. The two standard would be the standard of Christ, the standard of Satan. So the devil works on the Jews to stir up within them jealousy. Because they see both Paul and Barnabas, they're attracting a lot of people. So they abuse Paul and Barnabas by contradicting them. But Paul and Barnabas speak out and they say, it was necessary that the word of God be spoken to you first, but since you reject it and condemn yourselves as unworthy of eternal life, we now turn to the Gentiles. So we see that this is a real blessing in disguise. What I mean by that is that at first the word was being preached to the Jews and the synagogues. Now, Paul is becoming aware of the fact that the Word of God, that the message of Jesus Christ should be preached not only to the Jews, but also to the Gentiles, to the pagans, to the whole world. So for that reason, St. Paul is known as the Apostle to the Gentiles. He's going to become the great missionary. Now, I like to relate the Word of God to us. What about us? St. James says, he who brings back a wandering sheep to the fold saves his soul and will expiate a multitude of sins. The message for us, I think, is the following. I mentioned this once, I mentioned it many times, I'll repeat it. The biggest religious group in our country, as well as Mexico, the Philippines, and Europe, are non-practicing Catholics. Bring them back. For that reason, I said at the beginning of our conversation this morning, mothers that have wandering sheep in your flock, if they ask you for something, why not ask them to come back to church? Be as clever, be as simple as dove, but be as clever as serpents. So when the Gentiles hear this message of Paul, they're delighted and they glorify the Lord. But what happens is that these Jews are becoming more and more angry at Paul. So what they do is they incite the women of prominence in that city, as well as the leading men of the city, they stir up a persecution and they expel both Paul and Silas from their territory, and Saul and Silas shake the dust from their feet. But these disciples were filled with joy and filled with the Holy Spirit. See, the overall interpretation I'd like to give would be the following. Like Paul and Barnabas, this missionary team who are preaching our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they preach the truth and they confronted obstacles. They were persecuted. And Jesus preached this more than once that we read in the Gospels, especially find this in the Beatitudes, the eighth or last of the Beatitudes. Jesus says, blessed are those who are persecuted for my sake, for theirs is the kingdom of God. That you should not be surprised if you experience some type of persecution in your life. Don't be surprised, but rather rejoice. Rejoice that you're suffering for Christ and you will receive a recompense. Rejoice that you're suffering for Christ and you will receive a recompense. You will receive a recompense. And often the persecution happens in our own homes, from our own family members. So do not become discouraged, but rather rejoice. Rejoice. For yours is the kingdom of heaven. Don't back down. Preach, but especially try to live out the gospel message. Today, the responsorial psalm is Psalm 100. And the topic is, we are his people, the sheep of his flock. Alleluia. The psalm invites us with these words. Sing joyfully to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful song. So that opening verse, my friends, is inviting us to experience true joy. That's right. To experience true joy in our lives. You know, my friends, we experience desolation and consolation. Remember one occasion, it was a Saturday evening. I had a long day. At the end of the day, I was tired and I was experiencing some desolation. And remember that there's one person that said a few words to me. They were words of great encouragement. Just a few words. And just because those few words that that person said, I experienced consolation for another 24 hours. And I think we should take note of that, that we can be a source of consolation or desolation to others. And others, God sometimes sends to us to give us consolation, and sometimes they give us desolation. Let's receive the consolation from God that he'll give us today. Let's pray that we be a source of consolation to others. So, my friends, we move from the first reading to the second reading. We're going through the last book of the Bible. The last book of the Bible, my friends, is the book of Revelation or the book of the Apocalypse. And St. John has a vision. He has his vision. of a huge, huge multitude of people, which was actually impossible to count the number. There were so many. And these people came from every race, every nation, every people, and every tongue. They stood before the Lamb. They're white, wearing white robes and holding palm branches in their hands. And the Bible says these are the ones who have survived the time of great distress. They've washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. There are many interpretations of this, but my friends, this can be an interpretation of what is called the church triumphant. This is the church triumphant. One of the traditional classical models of ecclesiology or the church is that the church can be divided into three different parts. You have the church suffering, the church militant, and the church triumphant. Church suffering would be the souls in purgatory. The church militant would be we who are living. We form the military, the army of Christ, que vive Cristo Rey. The military of Christ, fighting the good fight, running the good race, trusting that the merited crown will be given to us one day. Then you have what is called the church triumphant. And that would be, the church triumphant, my friends, would be the communion of saints that are in heaven. I invite you to do this exercise. Okay, the church triumphant in heaven, maybe write down Five of your favorite saints. That's right. As you meditate upon this beautiful passage from the book of the Apocalypse or Revelation, we see these holy men and women who have been washed clean by the blood of the Lamb with these white robes on. They've got palms in their hands. Palms often symbolize martyrdom. So I invite you in your notebook to write down five of your favorite saints. Then invite them to our Perseverance family. Invite them to your own family. Invite them into your own lives. That's right. So I'll do it for you. I'll whet your appetite, okay? I'll start the ball rolling. I'll start the ball rolling. I really love this doctrine of the communion of saints, and I love the whole reality of the church triumphant, the saints in heaven. The Beatles used to sing, "Get a little help from my friends." Now, I think we could even interpret this. I'm sure Paul McCartney did not have this in mind, but get a little help from my friends. Our friends are the saints. That's right. Our friends are the saints in heaven. So of these saints, who would you choose to be among your favorite? I'll mention five of my favorite saints. First, On Mother's Day, of course, it would be Mary, who is the Queen of Angels and Saints. And there we have a common denominator among the saints. The saints have a great love for Mary. Mary is our life, our sweetness, and our hope. Mary is our strength. Mary is our defense. In Mexico and in American de Zapopa, they call her La Generala del Ejército. They call Mary the General of the Army. So especially on this Mother's Day, I think it's a good idea that we put Mary, of all the saints, Mary's the Queen of the Angels and the Saints. You might even honor Mary by praying the Hail, Holy Queen. And as I've mentioned, you might even, for this month of May, read the book written by Saint Alfonso Liguori. And that is The Glories of Mary, in which the saint explains the Hail, Holy Queen that we pray at the end of the rosary, word for word in great detail. Okay, so let's move on to another saint. Mary, of course, is the greatest of all saints. And then we follow. My favorite saint after Mary would be Saint Joseph. Saint Joseph. Thanks be to God. Thanks be to Pope Francis that we actually had a whole year. We had a whole year dedicated to the person of Saint Joseph. A whole year dedicated to the person of Saint Joseph. So love Saint Joseph. And you might even pull out, what is the title of Saint Joseph that you love most? The book written by Father Don Calloway, he spends a lot of time just going through the various invocations or titles of Saint Joseph from the litany. One of my favorite titles for Saint Joseph, he's known as the Master of the Interior Life. That's right, he's known as the master of the interior life. Well, Teresa of Avila, she's the one that really promoted that title, means is that Saint Joseph can teach us how to pray. He was the husband of Mary, but also he was the earthly father. He was the earthly father of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And he can become our spiritual father. He led the Holy Family in prayer, and he can lead you in prayer. And he also taught Jesus how to pray. Because Jesus, in his human nature, he grew in wisdom and knowledge and grace before God and man. So Saint Joseph taught Jesus how to speak. So that's the second saint I'd like to mention as we're going through the book of Revelation and we're picking out our own saints that we want to honor as we contemplate the huge multitude standing before the throne of the Lamb of God. The book of the Apocalypse presents Jesus as the Lamb of God. He's the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. The third sin I'd like to mention is the person of Saint Ignatius of Loyola. One of the reasons why I mention that is because we who are religious priests belong to an order or a congregation. We have what is called the charism that was left to us by our founder. And each order or congregation has its own specific charism. Own specific charism. And one of the basic charisms of the Oblates of the Virgin Mary is the Ignatian charism of giving Ignatian retreats, which could be a month retreat, or it might be an 8-day retreat, maybe a weekend retreat. Then in the Ignatian context, you have what's called annotation 18, annotation 19, and annotation 18 and 19, which would be, well, you can do the retreat in daily life. So I've composed a 10-week program of the spiritual exercises, the last 10 weeks. So I'm eternally grateful to Saint Ignatius of Loyola, who, when he was praying in the cave of Manresa, after his conversion and his being wounded in Pamplona, he went from Montserrat to Manresa. In prayer, he had a vision of the Blessed Virgin Mary, who gave him the blueprint of what is called the spiritual exercises. So I like to honor Saint Ignatius of Loyola as one of my favorite saints. And I pray for his prayers that I'll be able to give the spiritual exercises far and wide with more and more positive fruits. If done well, the spiritual exercises help us to be converted, to reform our lives. The spiritual exercises help us to order the disordered within our lives. The spiritual exercises help us in the art of spiritual discernment, discerning between the good spirit and the bad spirit. The spiritual exercises help us to discern and choose what is our specific vocation in life. The spiritual exercises help us to order the disordered. The spiritual exercises help us to dominate our sensuality so that we're not being moved by our passions, our feelings, our emotions, by the flesh. But rather, the spiritual exercises help us to follow both faith and reason. The spiritual exercises teaches us how to meditate. The spiritual exercises also gives us the ability to do contemplation, to utilize our imagination, and to see Christ, and to be with Him, and to choose Jesus Christ as our best friend. Spiritual exercises also teach us to do the daily examen. And by doing this, we become more and more aware of God's presence in our lives, such that we become contemplatives in action and were able to live out, as the Greek poet said, in Him we live and move and have our being. Spiritual exercises help us to cleanse our soul by making a general confession of our lives. Spiritual exercises also obtain for us great interior peace and security, because we know that our Lord is our rock. The Lord is our rock and our salvation. Whom should we fear, as the psalm points out? And the spiritual exercise is also, my friends, related to the Good Shepherd Sunday, in which we are concerned of bringing back the lost sheep to the Good Shepherd Jesus Christ. The spiritual exercises moves us by hearing the call of the King to have apostolic zeal, to have an ardent desire within our hearts to work, to collaborate with Jesus, who is the Good Shepherd par excellence, and to work side by side with the Shepherd, with the King, to win souls for Him. In other words, the spiritual exercises ignite within our hearts, a burning desire to love. To love God, but also to love Jesus Christ, the Son, the living God. But to love with the heart of Christ, to love what Jesus loved, and He still loves. What does He love? He loves the salvation of immortal souls. That's right, to love the salvation of immortal souls. What would it profit a man if he gained the whole world and lose his soul, Jesus tells us. And Jesus says, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and everything else will be given to you beside. And as St. Thomas Aquinas reminds us, one soul, my friends, is worth the whole created universe. So that's why, my friends, I'm expounding a lot upon five of my favorite saints, and one is St. Ignatius of Loyola. And I pray to him. I pray for you. I pray to him, I pray for you, that we'll go deeper and deeper. We'll go deeper and deeper in our knowledge and love of the spiritual exercises. In our knowledge and love of the spiritual exercises. Knowledge and love of the spiritual exercises. And finally, if we do the spiritual exercises well, we'll be motivated by the motto of St. Ignatius, which is very much parallel to principle and foundation. And that would be, A-M-D-G. A-M-D-G. Ad maiorem Dei gloriam. Doing everything for the honor and glory of God. That's right. Whether we eat or drink, let us do everything for the honor and glory of God, as St. Paul says. Then, the fourth saint that I'd like to highlight is that over the past few years, I've really come to a deeper love and knowledge and motivation to get to know Saint Faustina Kowalska. One of the reasons why is because she is the Secretary of Divine Mercy. The Secretary of Divine Mercy, chosen by Jesus Christ, to write down his thoughts in the diary. And I believe now more than ever, my friends, we're living in a time in which the world is in dire need of mercy. This world filled with wars and tensions, social unrest, political turmoil, a certain hopelessness, even despair. I think we have to turn to the person of Jesus and Divine Mercy, as well as his secretary. And beg for the grace that we will also be able to be heralds of Divine Mercy. That we'll preach and teach people that even though we are sinners, Christ, in his merciful love, came for the lost sheep of the flock. And the fifth saint I'd like to mention would be Saint Pope John Paul II. Saint Pope John Paul II was a good shepherd of the flock. He was the universal shepherd of the flock, assuming the role of Peter. For many years, from 1978, October 1978, up to April 2nd, 2005. So basically, 26 and a half years, he was the good shepherd to the flock. So those are the five saints that I have a great love for right now. Many others, but they're five of the most prominent saints in my life. What about you? I see all these saints related to the gospel today of the Good Shepherd. Mary, who is the mother of the Good Shepherd, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Mary chose to appear to the shepherd children, Jacinta, Francisco, and Lucia. They were shepherd children in Fatima. Then St. Joseph, he was the shepherd of his little flock, Mary and Jesus. St. Ignatius of Loyola, who founded the Company of Jesus and left us the patrimony of the spiritual exercises. The spiritual exercises that are changing so many lives. So many conversions are coming about by those who are doing the spiritual exercises of good Saint Ignatius. And Saint Faustina, being the secretary of divine mercy, let us pray that we would receive the mercy of Christ, but also to be able to give the mercy of Christ also. And then, of course, John Paul II, who was the good shepherd to the universal flock of the church for 26 years. My friends, Jesus is the good shepherd. But also we are called to be good shepherds of the flock that is entrusted to us. Jesus is a good shepherd. We are called to be the good shepherd to our flock. The key for us to be a good shepherd to our flock is very simply this. We have to be a good sheep of Jesus, the Good Shepherd. So may Psalm 23 be our psalm today. Considered by many the most famous psalm in the Bible, Psalm 23. And that is, the Lord is my shepherd. There is nothing I shall lack. Happy Mother's Day to all of you, and I'll give you my priestly blessing. The Lord be with you. May Almighty God bless you, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.